we need to make sure we're speaking our audience's language. We need to sound like us and speak our audience's language. It's not at this, it's not like this easy thing. It's kind of like this balance beam or a tightrope sometimes it feels like. But what is your audience saying they want? Because nobody's Googling, how can I love myself more?
Oh my God. Like, yes.
I say it didn't work for Michael Jackson, loving the man in the mirror, and it didn't work for Whitney Houston with the greatest love of all. And if those two people couldn't figure it out, you're going to have to meet your audience in a different way.
Totally.
Because nobody's circling, how can I love myself?
Exactly.
More?
Welcome to Passionate and Prosperous, the only podcast about creating success in your life and business by using your voice, gifts, and skills to do the work that lights you up, make money, and have massive impact in the world. This show teaches coaches, creatives, and service-oriented human beings how to trust in yourself and leverage your unique message, experience, and expertise to attract your ideal audience, create clients, and organically build your soul-aligned business. I'm your host, mindset and business strategy coach, Stacey Brass Russell, and I can't wait to help you to set yourself up for success and use your passion to create the prosperous life and business that you truly desire. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Passionate and Prosperous. I have a special treat for you today. I have a guest. My guest, Jen Liddy, is going to be joining me for an awesome conversation. Before we dive in, let me just tell you who Jen is. So, you know those very experienced smarty pants people who avoid marketing because they hate to be the center of the stage, overly visible, and have that like, here I am feeling? Well, that's who Jen works with. She translates their expertise and harnesses their experience in a way that sets them apart with brand messaging and content strategies that keep them out of the spotlight. Instead, they use her quiet influence approach to bring value to their audience. So I know that so many of you listening to this right now are like jumping out of your seat hearing that I am about to share with you someone who literally will talk to you about how to not have to put yourself completely in the spotlight. And here's what I'm going to say, Jen. Everyone listening to this knows that I'm pretty much the total opposite. And I tell them how important it is for them to put themselves in the spotlight. So I think we're going to have a really great conversation about this. On the other hand, though, you and I connected recently, like we're newish friends. And when we were connecting about you coming on the show, I think we felt a lot of synchronicity, though, about like what we do and how we support our people because of the sort of underlying philosophy that we both have, which is really about like seeing your content and your showing up as essentially being in service.
Yes, 100%.
So I think we're very aligned in that way. And I can't wait for you to share like all of your goodness with everybody. So before we start talking like content, messaging, strategy, one of the things that I also just really like love when I bring my guests on this show, you know, Passionate and Prosperous, it's really geared toward the people, right? A lot of coaches, but also I come from that yoga transformation background. I'm a creative. So we've got a lot of, you know, I attract a lot of creatives and coaches and service providers. And one of the reasons why this show is called Passionate and Prosperous is because when I became a coach, I really felt like my mission was to help all the people that know that they have like a talent or a gift or like a passion and some expertise that they just have. It doesn't necessarily mean that they went to college for it. It doesn't mean they've ever had like a corporate job for it. Maybe they did some certifications, you know, or whatever. But at the end of the day, I really do believe that people can turn what they love doing into like their business. And so, you know, when I bring on someone like you who's non-traditional, just like me, you're an entrepreneur and you're doing this work, you know, that you've created a niche for yourself, right? You've figured out why you're the person for people to work with. I'd love for you to like talk a little bit about that. Like just talk about, you starting your business? How did you get here? Where did you kind of come? What led you to this? Because those stories are so interesting and everyone needs to hear them so that they can see that there is a way to do what you want to do, even if it's not this linear path, like that you went to college, got a degree, and boom.
Right. Well, I think there's no one path. And I think we're sold this idea, especially if you are, like, I'm a Gen Xer. So for me, when I grew up, it was like, this is the way you do it. Because when you have boomer parents, the Gen Xers are like, you have to follow suit. And so what happened to me was I got my teaching degree, and I didn't even do that until I was 30. I got my master's degree at 30 and started teaching, or 28 or something. And I was kind of shocked at what a good teacher I was, but I still never felt like I had figured out what made me special. And so I always kind of wandered around like, yes, I got my degree. Yes, I'm good at this stuff. But I didn't know what my secret sauce was, or what my magic was. And I really didn't think I really had any magic. One day, and I'm going to say I am 35 in this story, like currently I'm 53, but I'm sitting in a classroom filled with my colleagues and their English teachers, and they are so smart and they have ideas for days. And I've been walking around my whole 35 years thinking I'm such a loser because, and I'm going to put air quotes around this, I'm just a teacher and I don't have any creative ideas and I'm not a visionary. And I've been beating myself up my whole life for this. Like, I've just followed this pathway forward and I'm doing the things and ticking things off, but I'm not creative. So I'm sitting around and I'm dreading this faculty meeting. It's like a department meeting. And I'm like, oh my God, here we're going to go again. It's just going to be ideas flying around and nobody's going to catch them and nobody's going to put them into play. And next year we're going to be in the same damn place that we are now. It's like, just drove me crazy. So I was new to the department at this point. So I stand up with my colored markers and I go to the whiteboard and I start like taking their ideas and sorting them and putting them into lists and helping them see like the pathway of this idea and then this idea and then this idea. And they're just talking. They don't even know that I'm up there doing, they're like, I'm completely invisible. And they finally, like, they get to the end of what they're talking about. And somebody points at the bar. They're like, look at what Jen Liddy, what are you doing? And I was like, this is like your guys' ideas in action. This is how we can get from, you know, from your idea to implementation. And they looked at me like quiet for a moment. And I thought, oh shit, here we go. Like, I'm really going to get fired now.
The mean, smart English people are going to.
Yes. Cause they were such like ideators.
Intellects. I know.
And they looked at me and they were like, where have you been all our life?
Oh my God.
And in that moment, I was like, oh, I need to be plugged into those visionary people who are like thinking around in the ethers, but can never get anything down on the ground and get any traction. So I'm going to say, like, it took me 35 years just to realize I had something special about myself. And that sounds really sad.
No,
I kind of like had to find my way to it.
And it doesn't sound sad. I mean, I'm not hearing that you're saying up until that moment, you literally thought you were like garbage, you know.
No, but it was just like I'd been searching for my magic.
Your thing, your
so
magic.
Long.
Yeah. And you know what I love about that story is that, like, yeah, you went and got your master's for teaching. And I'm sure I'm sure that that comes into play with like how great you are at what you do, but it sounds like you were leaning into like one of your natural, like kind of like something that you just are good at. Right. That's like strategy. That's like a way that your brain works, right? It's like a specific way that your brain works. And I think that a lot of times people underestimate how that you get to bring those things forward, right, into the work that you do. So look, it took you 35 years.
Your thing is like it's like breathing to me.
Exactly.
To organize and sort and rank and strategize and make tactics that work and systematize things. Like, that is like breathing to me. And listening is like breathing to me. Like, I don't have to be in the center, you know, flying ideas around, but I can catch your ideas and turn them into something.
Yeah.
And so to fast forward a little bit, I got tired of teaching. I got burned out of teaching for lots of reasons. And I decided to work with two partners to open a fitness studio. And I fell into the systems and, you know, making things. My husband used to say I was the one who made the trains go.
Yeah.
And so I was the operations person and the communications marketing person. I had no training in either, and I did not have an MBA. And again, I was quote unquote just a teacher with two master's degrees by this point.
Yeah. Right?
And talk about a lot of, you know, I didn't have formal training and who was I to do this, all of that junk.
Yep.
And so but again, leaning into the natural abilities that I had, it would take me a long time to find the confidence to just say, I don't need another degree. I don't need another certification. I don't need to take another course. Like, I just have this ability. I don't know where it came from. And people need it. So it's a long road, but I got there.
It's, here I am, but at 53. But it's hard. You know, I actually, and you know, I'm 55 and I, mm-hmm. I have a lot of clients who are in there, you know, I have the whole range, but I have a lot of clients who are in their 50s and 60s. And, you know, just recently, I went to this like event about like, you know, media, getting PR for yourself. And, you know, like it's International Women's Month. And of course, you and I were just talking before we got on this recording about like, you know, not necessarily always having being able to do all the things, right? Like all the things that you want to be doing. And one thing is, you know, I'm like, there's so much out there about how women over 50 are actually, you know, women over 50 are often the ones who like become the most successful in their lives as they, you know, after 50, because of what you're saying, because we're still like stepping more and more into like, into our greatness, into what we're really great at doing, you know? And yeah. I try to tell all of my clients, I'm like, you know, it's okay that like, you know, we're discovering this thing that you're so great at, right? But that's what you have to be able to lead with, because it's what sets you apart from the other people who do the same thing that you do, right?
Agree. Yeah. Yeah. And you kind of have to undo your conditioning that like, it didn't happen for me in my 30s. And especially if you're surrounded by, you know, not surrounded by people in their 50s or not looking for examples of those people 50 and older who are making that happen. And I have to say, sometimes I'll compare myself to women who are in their 30s.
Me too.
And I will compare myself to like people who are like 37, 38, 40. And I had a child at 37. My first and only child was at 37. I was in no position to do anything except try to keep that kid alive. Right.
Yeah.
And so it literally took me this, and he's about to go off to college in a year. So this is my time, and I am 1000% reclaiming it. And it took me a while to get here, but like now I can really take up space and say, no, this is what I want to do, and this is what I'm good at, and feel confident in it. It took a long time.
Oh my God. I just feel, I hope everyone listening, I know who's listening. I mean, obviously I don't know everyone personally, but I know who our audience is. I want you to take this in. You've got to hear, you know, like someone saying it takes time. And, you know, I think there's like an urgency that is normal, right? Especially if what you know, we've got like lots of different ways that people get to where they want to go, right? That's like kind of the first thing we said. And I know that for me, I've always been someone who had to, because of my careers. Like I was an actor, right? Then I was a yoga teacher before we have so many other things to talk about, because I opened a yoga studio with two business partners, right?
Oh my God. So like,
you
know,
we both did a fitness studio for mm-hmm. you know, with two business partners. But you know, like because I never was someone who had the degrees and went and could, I never was on the path of where I became someone's employee, had a salary, had benefits. Mm-hmm. The only time I ever had benefits was when I was in a show that like I earned enough weeks in my equity in my union to qualify for health insurance, right? Those were the only times I had health insurance. You know, so I've never been someone who had that. And I've always just had to be, I don't like to use the word hustle. It's just like not my mm-hmm. word, but I've always had to like have what I've always called money jobs, right? Mm. And I've always had to be working at something that might not be like my end all be all or my plan in order. Right. And I always tell everybody, in order to fund my getting to where I can do what I want to do and mm-hmm. only have to do that. And I remind people that I'm 55 and I started my coaching business when I was 50. And for the first, you know, or like 49. And for the first 2 years that I was having my coaching business and I was in my 50s, I still had to teach a shitload of yoga and yoga teacher trainings in order to continue to earn while I was getting my business off the ground. And I think that, like so many people, there's so much messaging out there in our industry that people are made to think that like they should be able to start generating like, you know, 10K months or six figure years, you know, right out the gate. And if they're not, they think that like they're that's wrong. No one's telling them the fucking truth. And people think that they're going to be able to quit their job.
I know.
In a really short amount of time. And I'm like, don't think that. Like, it's okay to have to do both. And even if you're—
there's no shame in it.
Yeah. And it may be that you have to work really hard to do it while your other friends might be getting ready for retirement. And that's another mindset thing where if you're in your 50s, and you're still building and doing your thing, you're operating in a totally different energy than somebody who's on the other side and who's getting ready to retire. And that's fine.
Well, that's where the word passionate comes from in your podcast title. That's like, not everybody is passionate,
right?
And that's okay, right? Like there's, as my dad likes to say, there's an ass for every seat. There's like, you know, there's plenty out there.
Yes.
If your friends are not passionate about something and they're ready to retire, But I still am, and this is so important to me. I think the messaging, I think doing these conversations is so important because there's not a lot of people talking about it, especially if you're an online coach or online service provider. You're watching people who are half your age with not even a tenth of the ability or training or degrees that you have, like seemingly zooming past you, and it's so maddening and it's so frustrating. Yep. I have had to learn a couple of things. Number one is how my own energy works and what I can't do. That was very hard because my whole life, again, growing up as a Gen Xer, it's push, 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 have 1,000 jobs, make money wherever you can. Kind of like what you were talking about, the gig economy and making money and having the passions on the side and learning so that I could get another degree. It burned me out. And I thought when I left teaching that I was going to get away from burnout. And then I started a business and I burned out again. And then I started another business and I burned out again. And I was like, oh, the problem, the call is coming from inside the house. Like I am the problem. Yes. This is me. I have to like learn how to work with my energy because for all of my, really this is, I'm talking about like the last year and a half or 2 years up, like from my full first 50s, I was pushing against my energy type. And so giving myself permission, like this is how my energy works and this is how I want to work in the world. And this is how it's again, so much permission giving, but we don't always see that because that's just usually not what people are presenting to the world. They're like, I made a 10K month or I made a 20K month or whatever.
While in a bikini on the beach. Like that's the thing that I'm like, that's what kills me for my clients, right? Where I'm just sort of like, please that like to get to that point, if it's true at all, it's so many other things than just working one-on-one with like, you know, with your coaching client. Like, let's get you some clients. Like, let's not worry about being working 2 hours a week from the beach. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a reality when you're starting a legitimate human-centered business, right? And I talk a lot about the difference between those of us who actually still coach for real and work with our clients and people who's this is the passion thing. It's like, what's your passion? I don't see myself ever fully automating my business and just selling, you know, evergreen done for you courses online and running hundreds of thousands of dollars of ads into a funnel so that I can make money in my sleep. I mean, I'd like to make money in my sleep and I can probably scale my business to in some ways so that that's a part of my revenue stream. But my whole life has been built around humans and relationships and believing that I can actually impact another person's life by being their coach or by being their teacher or by being their mentor. And that's a different business model. And I try to tell my people, you know, I'm like, it's a different business model. Focus on your business, not based on the kind of business that other people have, because that might not be the kind of business you want to have.
not only it might not be the kind of business that you have, it might not be possible given 2024's
right
audience and situations. And I like to point this out, not to bash the gurus or the people who have a big name, because, you know, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with those people. But if I'm going to use Amy Porterfield as an example, if she were to have started her business today or in 2023 even, she would not be having the same kind of success. No. She started her business at a very different time.
Yep.
That the online world needed what she had. I'm not saying the online world doesn't need what she has.
Yep.
I'm saying we can't compare ourselves to somebody who's in chapter 23 of
exactly.
their book.
And who, when they started, as you said, it's so important. One of the things I've been talking about on all my episodes lately and everything is how And you know, I always tell my people, I'm like, listen, one of the benefits of me investing the money I invest to be in masterminds and groups, like where that's how we met, we're in a community mm-hmm. that we both invested in being in. I said, one of the reasons why I do all that is not only like, you know, to build relationships and get, you know, coaching and whatever, but also mm-hmm. because it's so important to be able to get to form relationships with people who can be really transparent and real about their experience in the business, in the world, so that you're not thinking that you're only one, right? And mm-hmm. I have heard from, I don't even know how many people, that everyone feels like 2023 was this really, like it was a real game changing year for like the way everyone's business felt, stuff that had been working up until then, you know, stopped working. We're all having to like be more, we're all having to pay a different kind of attention to also like the audience out there. And, you know, also look, I'm a business coach. You work with other business, you know, with people who are trying to make money and succeed in their business. But a lot of the people that I coach and that are listening to the show are people whose clients are, and this is what I always call them, normal people.
Yeah.
They're not people who are necessarily looking for coaching to make money. They're looking for coaching to help them with their health, with their lives, mm-hmm. you know, to be more successful as a human being, right? Or to have some sort of transformation. And people like that, they're not as easy to sell. I literally just made an episode, the one that came out this last week was called The Business of Selling Transformation. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you sell transformation, your audience is very different than an audience of people. A lot of those coaches, not Amy, because Amy really is telling normal people that they can make money putting out courses and stuff. Okay. But a lot of the other coaches that I see and follow, they're selling to other coaches. They're selling them business. They're selling them how to be on social media, marketing, messaging. And look, I'm not putting anything down about that. It's what you do. It's what I do. But for a lot of our clients, their audience are not those people. Their audience doesn't give a shit about like their messaging on social. They don't care if they have a reel that goes viral. Like that is not of their concern.
Right.
And they're selling a different product. And I think that we have to look at the fact that the landscape in general of buying has shifted. And people need to be allowed to know that. And otherwise, they're just going to think that there's something wrong with them.
Something wrong with them. Yeah. Yeah. Which is why, you know, knowing your audience is so important and what your people care about is so important. Which one of the things that I want, if anybody to walk away from this conversation, whether you serve other business owners or whether you serve consumers or normies, right?
Right.
Like people who aren't
normal. I'm always like, it's normal people. They're not walking around thinking limiting beliefs. They're not walking around thinking self-love, limiting beliefs. These are my problems. Right. They're not thinking
you're
that.
Speaking my language so much. And what happens is when you're an expert in something or you have an expertise in something and you've been doing it for a long time and it's like breathing to you, I'm going to guess you're surrounded by a whole bunch of other people who also have the same expertise and speak the same language. Like a lot of your friends, Stacey, are probably coaches and online business owners. So like you have a shorthand between you. And that is just something to be really aware of, especially now in 2024. Like we need to make sure we're speaking our audience's language. We need to sound like us and speak our audience's language. It's not like this easy thing. It's kind of like this balance beam or a tightrope sometimes it feels like. But what is your audience saying they want? Because nobody's Googling, how can I love myself more?
Oh my God. Like, yes.
I say it didn't work for Michael Jackson, loving the man in the mirror, and it didn't work for Whitney Houston with the greatest love of all. And if those two people couldn't figure it out, you're going to have to meet your audience in a different way.
Totally.
Because nobody's circling, how can I love myself?
Exactly.
More?
Exactly. Oh my God. I love you.
Even though our audiences are really savvy, they're super smart. Like they want, and a lot of times, like I tell this story of, when I started going into menopause, which was at 43, and my doctor shrugged at me when I said, hey, there's some stuff going on for me and I can't sleep through the night and I'm sweating and I have no desire to have sex with my husband and I like my brain feels like mushy soup. And he literally shrugged.
Ugh.
And then it took 7 years for a client to mention to me this this doctor who does bioidentical hormones for women who are premenopausal and menopausal. And so I went to see her and I spent a lot of money that I would pay every single day just to have the solution that she has. But like, I didn't even know that there were words to put around this thing. I didn't even know that this was out there.
Yes.
And so so I get into this meeting with her and she's like, so I bet you are sweating through the night. I bet you don't sleep. I'm like, I don't sleep. I wake up at 1:27 a.m. every single night. And then I do math, like how many hours can I like get to sleep? And she says all these things back to me, like mirroring it to me. And I was like, yes, yes, yes. Oh my God, where have you been? Where have you been? And she said, well, I don't really like to market myself. So I don't, you know, I just rely on referrals. Mm-hmm. And I thought, bitch, 7 years I have been not sleeping and sweating through the night and feel like my brain is on fire all the time. Like if I had just seen some messaging around this, there's some marketing.
Yep.
But, and if she had spoken to me like a normie, right? Like a normal person who just has this problem. And so I think if we can start to think of the words that our audience needs, that we are doing such a service for them. And it's really not about, you know, it ultimately is about selling. But really, like if you're a heart-centered coach, like I'm sure you are and your people are, like what you really care about is that people don't wake up at 1:27 a.m. every
exactly.
night and have to do math.
Exactly.
Right?
And what I always tell people is, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but one thing is I always tell people, I'm like, if you're not offering people your solution, your services, you're actually doing them a disservice. Like if you're worried that by telling people that you're available to help them, if you're worried about seeming salesy, what you're actually doing is you're doing them a disservice by not telling them that you actually have a way to help them.
And that's why I tell this story every chance I get. And I tell any woman who I meet who's in her late 40s, mid 50s, or late 50s this story, because like bioidentical hormones are available to you. You should research them and find out if it's right for you, because nobody's talking about it in any place I had seen. And again, it's this this shift of thinking that you're selling or being salesy. And I was like, this problem could have been solved 7 friggin' years ago. Oh my God.
So I want to say something else that you said. I want to highlight it to the audience because everyone, if you heard back a few minutes ago, Jen said, and I paid, I don't remember your exact words. I've been taking some little notes, but you said like, And I paid a lot of money for it and I'm happy to. Like you basically were like, and absolutely, it cost me a lot of money. And here's what I wanna tell everybody listening. And Jen, just so you know, I also am on bioidentical hormones. I'm 55 and I pay a shitload of money to work with my functional practitioner and to have the hormones that are not from big pharma, like they're made in a compounding pharmacy. And, you know, and so I do the same thing. I spend tons of money out of pocket because my insurance doesn't cover certain things.
Of course not.
And here's what I'm going to say to our audience. You just heard two women say, if the right person came along and told me that they could solve a problem that I am having that is making my life miserable or keeping me from having the life that I want to be having, I am going to invest in that solution. And for all of you out there that are constantly, you know, worried that like no one can afford your services or no one's buying or no one's paying or nobody, you know, wants to commit or nobody wants to invest in themselves. What I'm telling you is it's not true. It's a limiting belief. And the thing that you have to be able to do is what Jen just said. And now we're going to shift into that, which is speak to your people and be able to talk in a way that they're going to identify, oh, she's talking to me. She's talking about these things that are keeping me up at night, in Jen's case, literally, right? And you have to believe that if you can tell those people about your thing that they've never done before, you know, or the way you deliver it, or because you are able to support them in like your unique way, they are going to pay for it. They will. And so any story that you have, that's like, if that's what's holding you back and you've got like this whole block about no one buys or whatever, you got to get over it.
I had a coach, a mentor who told me, I think it was maybe Marisa Corcoran. She told me, you know, your audience's wallets are not your business. Stay out of your clients' wallets.
Yep.
And I think that in the online space that has been twisted to be like, manipulate people to spend money they don't have, but it's not about that.
No.
You know, like it costs me whatever, however many hundreds of dollars four times a year, it is worth it. And I find the money and I'm not like, you know, it's not like we can't put food on our table because I'm having my hormones.
Right.
Inserted,
and
right?
Well, the other
and
thing.
And so, but it's.
No, go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go right ahead.
No, I was just going to say what you said about the like, you know, stay out of their wallets. What that really is also is like, remember, people can make their own decisions about where they want to spend their money. And things are worth different things for different people. And very often when someone gives you this thing, oh, I can't afford that or whatever, I always say, I can't afford that is just an easy blanket statement that could mean a million things. It could mean, I don't want to take money out of my savings for that. It could mean, I don't want to spend on that because I'm going to go on a big vacation. It can mean so many things. It doesn't always mean I literally don't have a dollar, you know? And so you have to trust that your audience can make their own empowered decisions about what is important to them to spend on.
If you want to feel good about that, go to Starbucks at 2:30 in the afternoon on any given day. You will see 13 people standing in line to spend $8 on a drink. You'll see another 21 people in the other line outside in their cars, and then 10 people come in from the app. And all of these people are spending $7 to $13 yep. at a time at Starbucks. Now, this is something that we didn't do in the 70s and 80s and 90s. Like, this is new-ish, but this is where people are spending money. And so if you think people like they don't really have money, go look at who's standing online.
Yeah.
There's all types of people.
Yeah.
We can't judge how people are how people are choosing to spend their money. So I agree with you when people say I can't afford it. Sometimes that is certainly true.
Yes.
But we can't diminish ourselves or stop offering our services because we're afraid that somebody out there can't afford us. That's true. Somebody out there can't afford us, and somebody else out there absolutely can choose to put their money toward it. It's
yeah.
really like a decision that they have to make. And your job in your messaging is not to convince anybody. And if you can let go of like, you feel like you have to do convincing energy,
mm-hmm.
like really it's, you have something that people need. And if you message it in a way that makes them understand this is how your life will be better, then that's where the conversation starts.
Yeah.
Mistake I see a lot of coaches make, and I know that your audience is filled with coaches and service providers. A mistake that people make is they talk about what their audience is going to get. You know, I have a 3-month program. You're going to get 12 calls.
Yeah,
with
the
me.
Logistics.
The calls are an hour. You can box room.
No.
Nobody gives a shit about that.
Nope.
That's like way down the road. You don't even talk about
You don't need
that
to until. Talk about that till after you've already told them like about your transformative, incredible process
yes.
that you have nailed specifically for your ideal client. And you tell them that first. And then you say, okay, great. Well, the way I can give that to you is we're going to work for this long. We're going to have this many sessions. You know, I always say your offer is three parts. It's like the transformation, then the logistics, and then the price, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But people get so stuck in it because to them, the most important thing is the time that I get to spend with my client. Exactly. And that's like the last thing on their mind.
No.
So there's like we already talked about the mirroring that you do with your language to help your audience see and feel and think like that you get what they see and feel and think, right? Like, so you're mirroring to them and that's a service. And then this other thing, we're talking about something in marketing. It's this really nerdy term, but it's features versus benefits.
Yep.
And features are the thing. They're like the specs, you know, it's 12 weeks and all of this. But your audience doesn't care about that. So when you're sharing the benefits is what you really want to share. How is this? Why do I care? Why should you care? How will this make your life better? And so if we're talking about mirroring, the second thing you want to really think about in your marketing is the ripple effect that having this pain point solved would make in your life. So mirroring and rippling. If you take nothing else away from this conversation.
Oh, I love that. I'm writing
in your
that
messaging,
down.
Those are two simple tweaks. And I hope that you're noticing that none of this is actually about me being in the spotlight with jazz hands and saying, this is what I think and me. And it's about me. It's really not about me. It's about you not waking up at 1:27 a.m. anymore and maybe wanting to have sex with your husband again and being able to wake up in the morning with a clear brain. Like, oh, yeah. That sounds really good to me.
So I was actually going to say like, okay, I'm going to shift our convo in this direction because what I wanted to now shift to was you talk a lot or, you know, like one of your sort of things is that like is you use the word introvert. Like those are the kind of people that, you know, often like struggle, right? Do you agree that like a lot of people that identify as introverts, they then think that like they can't do marketing because, you know, marketing is all about like showing up on making reels of yourself or whatever.
Right.
And a lot of times people get stuck in the mindset of, oh, well, I'm an introvert. So now what? I can't market my business. They go down the whole spiral. I'm an introvert, so I can't have a business.
Right, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it
I'm
for
done.
You.
I can't market. And so you have your quiet, what do you call it? Quiet?
I call it quiet influence.
Yeah, quiet influence.
Because there's nothing more distasteful to somebody who doesn't like the spotlight than to be an influencer. However, all of us who have all of our degrees and our specialness and our magic, we do want to impact people, right? And so if we can do it quietly, it's much better for us. Now, definitely introverts don't enjoy the spotlight, and that's very clear. People who are highly private don't enjoy the spotlight, but
you're a projector.
I'm a projector.
Are projectors people who don't like being, I always forget what's projector and reflect. I'm not like the human design expert. I just know I'm a generator and that's very identifiable for me.
Right. Well, projectors need to be invited in someplace.
Yeah.
And so it can feel really uncomfortable to like have to show up if nobody's invited you in.
Yep.
So you could literally have this conversation with anybody along these different lanes. But I am extroverted.
You're an extroverted projector.
I'm an extroverted projector. I'm also not terribly private. Like if you literally ask me anything, like I already talked about not wanting to have sex with my husband for 7 years, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm not overly private. So why didn't I want to be in the spotlight? And it doesn't really matter why I didn't, but I started to notice this pattern. It's not just for introverts anymore.
Like, right.
It's
right,
like,
right.
You know, like there's all these types of people who don't really love being in the spotlight, but they want to make an impact. And they have something to say and they know they can help. In order to help, you've got to market yourself.
Yeah.
And the messaging that I see out there is you have to learn to love the limelight. You have to learn to love being in the spotlight. And for a lot of people like me who don't want to be on center stage, they see that messaging and they're like, screw it. I'm just going to wait for another referral to roll in, or I'm going to cross my fingers and put my crystals out in the moonlight and really hope that it all works out for me. And I really want to start talking about we can create a quiet influence in a way that feels good to us. And we also get to use our expertise, leverage our knowledge, and we do it in this way that I want people to start thinking of audience-centric marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's everything I've been talking about today. Like it's the audience first. And I'm going to bet that if everything I'm saying resonates with people, maybe they would even like to be on the stage with someone else, but they don't want to be there by themselves.
Right.
They're always going to be more interested in other people. What do you think about that? Or they're going to, like, they're asking great questions. Coaches especially, they're so great at asking questions and they don't necessarily.
Well, if you're a coach, your whole focus is on your client, right? And if you're a teacher, your whole focus is on your students, right? Like,
that's right.
For all the years that I taught yoga teachers to teach yoga, I had to tell, the number one thing I would tell people is don't worry when you're teaching a yoga, everyone's so scared of teaching a class, right? Like I'm going to, I have to teach a class now. I went to teacher training. Yep. I have to teach a class. The number one thing that I would say to people is just keep your eyes on your students and their bodies. You will know exactly what to say if you're watching your students. Like if you're trying to come up with a class from your head and you're just giving cues and alignment, if you're just shouting out everything you ever learned about triangle pose and you're just giving a list of instructions, it's not going to have any meaning anyway. But if you're literally looking at your student doing triangle pose, you're going to know exactly what to say. And the focus is on you, on them, not on you. And I think coaches are the same way. Like, our job is to put all of our attention on the other person.
So that's why audience-centric marketing is very applicable. You don't have to identify as being introverted or anything. It's like if you've been looking out at the digital marketing world and saying, God, it seems like the noisy people. It seems like the people who are super comfortable performing. It seems like the people who love to get on video. Like, they're winning, right? And they're influencing. I don't want to be that. I can only speak for myself here, but to me, it always feels it feels phony.
Yeah.
It feels performative. And that's just not – like, I'm not a performer. And I also want to make sure, like, everybody hears – and we need performers. And we need those people who love to
dance.
Sure. There's, again, an ass for every seat, right? Like, there's enough. But I think that the people who don't enjoy the spotlight feel like they've been kind of obfuscated by these people who are just so naturally good at it. Like, that's their magic. But I really want to start talking about how we can learn an audience-centric approach to marketing that helps us make our impact and influence people with our ideas in a quiet way that doesn't put us center stage, but also helps us change people's lives and serve them.
So I want to ask you something, though, because I love what you're saying. All that keeps coming up for me, one thing I just want to say is I am a performer. And
I know.
Ever since, like, the beginning of reels and whatever, I literally have, I mean, zero. It couldn't be, it's below zero. I have a negative desire to dance on a reel or to shake my body and point at things on a reel. And I am a performer. I mean, want to be on stage. And there's just certain things that I just have literally no desire to do on camera, right? I have things I like to do on camera. I like what we're doing right now. I love it. But like, I have no interest in dancing on a reel. Okay. So I just want to say that to the audience. Okay. Because, you know, yeah, I've been on Broadway and I don't want to perform. I want to only do on my marketing. I want to do what feels like authentic to like me supporting people as a coach, as a, you know, okay. But now I want to ask you about this because I love everything you're saying. And I'm sure everyone listening is loving everything you're saying. One of the things that I do feel though, and you can tell me how you help people do this if you think it's important, maybe you don't. Mm-hmm. I think that building that know, love, and trust that we need to build with our audience, right? Especially if we do want people to, let's say, discover us online, right? How do people discover us? Well, very often they discover us on social media. This is different than people discovering us by like meeting us in person, right? So when someone meets you in person, they get to see you. They get to see your face. They get to hear your voice. They see your eyeballs.
Energy.
They feel your energy, right? Okay. So that's great. You don't have to do anything to do that. But the online space is also a place where a lot of people want to leverage the fact that they can have a lot more, reach more people, have more exposure. This is what takes your business from being a business that you have to go out and meet people in real life, right? And you have whatever. I definitely believe, and I'm so open to hearing you say something else, that people need that in this market, because so many people are willing to put their faces and their voices and their energy out there, I think you have to do it too. I don't think you can, like, I don't think you're going to get the same traction by hiding, like, by putting yourself out there. And so I don't know if what you mean by the spotlight is like calling attention to yourself in some big way, like it's your brand, or if you literally mean people that don't want to put their face, like put a photo of themselves or show up on a video at all. I'm just really curious where we are with this, with your...
I'm glad you asked, because I would never want somebody to walk away from this conversation thinking it's okay to hide, because I feel like the story I told about the hormones, like I didn't know there was a solution. So your audience needs to know there's a solution. If you're hiding, they're not going to know there's a solution.
Well, I don't mean hiding that you're not putting out your solution, but I'm literally asking you now about like putting your face and voice out there.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's a lot of ways to put your face and voice out there. My opinion is it starts with, first of all, what platform do you want to be on? Because a podcast, for example, is a great platform. You don't even have to do video on podcasts. In a conversation like this, I never have to be in the spotlight and you never have to be in the spotlight. We're both here together having a conversation where we bounce off of each other. But maybe, if I didn't want to use my voice and I was okay doing video, I had video that maybe it's not like a talking head video. Perhaps it might be, I have a voice over to something else, or I have like some B-roll happening where you see me work, but like I'm not doing a talking face video. It doesn't mean you never show your face in visuals either. People need to see who you are. So hiding behind memes or stock photos, like I don't think that that's...
Or Canva graphics. Not what I want people, right.
That's another good point, right? No, people need to see your face. Do they need to see your face all day, every day? No, but they need to have access to it. And so as a quiet influencer, you get to decide like how much feels good. I'm going to tell you a conversation I just had with my photographer the other day. I have been in a relationship with my photographer for years and we've done a lot of photo shoots together, and I'm not always comfortable with what comes out, and not because the photos aren't beautiful. Like she does a beautiful job. I don't always feel comfortable posing in a certain way or smiling in a certain way or looking at the camera in a certain way. And so I had a conversation where I said, this is where I'm going with my business. And these are the things I don't feel comfortable doing anymore. The kind of shots I would really like and that I feel would project my personality are these types of shots. I don't want to do those types of shots anymore. And she said, I totally understand and I respect that. And if you sense that I'm like directing you in that point, you have to, you know, honor that you don't want to do that. And that's something that I, again, it's permission giving, like, no, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to dance in this photo. No, I'm not going to look directly at the camera. And are all of the pictures going to be me looking in a direction I don't like? No, but I had to kind of make a stake for myself. Like, this is the kind of creative direction I want to go in.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is going to be different for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I agree with you. I have zero desire to ever talk on a reel, or much less in 2020 when everybody was dancing and doing trends like and lip syncing. I was not doing it.
Yeah.
And so again, I think parsing out what platforms work for you and how many pictures you want to show of yourself, and you know, and over the, I love a picture where I'm engaged with someone.
Yeah.
Like I'm completely comfortable with that. When my,
like
my
on a panel or
shoulder, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I've just had to get very clear. Like when I understood that I didn't want to be posing and posturing, the only way, like I know what the spotlight feels like for me.
Yeah.
And what I'm not willing to do. And I think all of us need to establish what that means for us, knowing there's a huge range for all of us, and give ourselves permission and really kind of parse out like, okay, I like that. Yeah, I don't like that.
You know, here's...
And when you just start to parse it out, you're like, you'll know what quiet influence looks like for you. You know what I love about showing up?
What you're saying here? I just want to, one of the things that I try to coach on is the importance of when you know what you don't like or what you don't want, yes, or what's not you. Okay, that's great. But you can't just keep reiterating that. You have to then be able to say what you do want or what you do like or what you are willing to do, right? And I mm-hmm. think that where a lot of people get stuck is in the, I don't like that. That's not me. I don't feel comfortable. I don't want to do that. And you can just keep repeating that till the cows come home. But at some point, the only way that you're going to be able to move forward is when you allow yourself to go to be creative and curious about, well, what would you like what would work for you? Because there's no answer where it's nothing. There's no answer where it's, well, don't market yourself at all or never have a photo taken of you. Right. So if we know that what we don't like, then we just have to be willing to get curious about what.
That's a beautiful way to put it. When I got curious about this whole idea that I had, it all came so clearly to me. Mm-hmm. It like downloaded how I wanted to talk to people, what I wanted to talk about, how I wanted to show up, what I won't do, like what I'm not interested in doing and what I really am interested in doing. Like, I am not really interested right now in this point in my life getting up on stage. And that actually has way less to do with like being on a stage in a spotlight and way more to do with like traveling and disrupting my home life at this point. Mm-hmm. But having those real conversations with myself, it was like a breath. I would say like it felt like I had wings for the first time when I gave myself permission to market myself without feeling like it's about me. It's actually for my audience and it's a service and I can do it. And like, you know, these strategies that I've talked about today, like that's just the tip of the iceberg of the ways that you can do this. And I'm really glad we talked about the visual piece because it's not okay to hide behind other things.
Right. I just feel like sometimes
you really have
people
to do it in your own way.
Yeah. And I love that we talked about it because I think that I didn't want anyone to come away from this episode thinking that like that you were saying like, yeah, it's totally fine to like never to be faceless or whatever for your business. Mm-hmm. Cause I really do think that we're not like because of how
not
many
today.
People exactly, because of how many people yeah, are right. out there with their faces and their voices and their energy and whatever, you will get left behind if you're not willing. And so the whole thing about privacy, I get a lot of people who come to me and they're like, I'm just so private. I don't like social media. I'm like, that's cool. But you have a face and you're a person. So you can't tell me that you don't go, that you can't, you've got to talk to people somehow. And that is, you know, and you have to give people a way of connecting with you or feeling connected to you. And, you know, and so whatever that is, like you said, it might be figuring out the right platform. It might be, you know, whatever is the way that you can do, but you got to, again, I think it comes back to the same thing. You got to at least be curious about what is it going to be? Because there is no world in which it's nothing. You can't have a business and do nothing.
Especially if you're a personal brand business, like people need to know something about you. So again, decide, what are you not talking about? Are you never going to talk about your family life or your children or whatever? But you don't need
your
to
hormones.
Bring everybody into the or your sex with your husband. You don't need to like bring people into the gynecologist's office with you. You don't need to bleed all over
the
internet.
Well, you don't have to report that. You don't have to tell everybody what you're doing all the time.
No.
Yeah. You have to find the
but
stuff that's relevant.
People need to connect with you.
Yeah.
Yes. And so all of these little things are decisions that I just want to give people permission to make. And one last thing, I know we're wrapping up because I really want to, but I want to say, you cannot sound like everyone else. I know that you're looking at other people's marketing and they're quippy and they're cutesy and they're clever and they have these little ways of saying things and you just think I'm just so boring and I have nothing going on and I'm too academic or I'm too, you know, much in my industry. But like the way you talk to yourself or your animals or your friends, like you can talk to your audience that way and you start to develop your voice. So another way to set yourself apart without being, you know, like trying to be like anybody else is to figure out the words that your audience needs to hear and say them in a way that sounds like you.
Yes.
Because that, You don't want somebody hiring you and then getting on a one-to-one call and then being like, who's this person? This is not the person that I saw in my marketing, in their marketing. And so all of these things work together to help you, you know, have a clear message, show up for marketing with a strategy that feels good to you and resonates with your audience. And these are just like a couple of little switches that you can make in your mindset and try some of these strategies out. And it doesn't have to be as hard as you've been making it to be in your head. It's not like a catastrophe. Marketing is not a catastrophe.
Well, also, it's not only what people are making up in their head, it's what they're being told, because there are a lot of people, the messaging from a lot of the people who are messaging experts and marketing experts is that they've got the perfect social media template that if you, you know, or there's a, right, there's a very specific marketing messaging thing that if you're not doing it, that's why no one's jumping in your DMs. Like you're just, I mean, even I get affected by that. Like I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I'm the worst. How am I a business coach? Everyone else is saying they know the secret formula to the email that's going to get $30,000 in sales. And I'm like, no, I never made $30,000 from an email, you know, and I could go into this whole,
such a loser.
I'm such an idiot. I can't make all my money from an email. What is wrong with me?
What's wrong with me?
Everybody else is selling in the emails and they're banking, you know. So I think we are all susceptible to like that, you know, like there's a lot of that kind of messaging out there and it can make you feel like there is some special marketing thing you have to do because someone else cracked the code. Gave you, someone else has, I call it like the secret formula that the universe gave to a few people. And those people now are the only ones who can like divvy it up to the rest of us.
I know. And the rest of us are missing the ingredient. Exactly. And that's just too bad for
us. We have to pay thousands of dollars to this one person that the universe was like, you have the email strategy. Okay, so let's tell. So, you know, I want to, so what do you call yourself? You know, I realized I read your bio and I'm like, right. It didn't actually say Jen Liddy is a marketing coach or a copywriting coach. Or, so like, tell everybody exactly what you do.
Sure.
And I know we have a free resource, right? That we're going to put in the show notes.
Yep. So I help people basically know how to talk about their business in a way that like comes, like kind of rolls off their tongue. The fancy way of saying that is I'm a brand message and content strategist.
Yeah.
Basically, if somebody stops you in the grocery store and is like, what are you doing now? Like I can help you talk about what you're doing and help your audience understand you. I actually created a resource called the Backstage Brilliance Marketing Toolkit, which your audience can get for free using the code STACEY with an E-Y-S-T-A-C-E-Y.
If they don't know how to spell my name, then, you know,
come
like
on, she's an E-Y.
That goes back to the Gen X.
Yes. The Backstage Brilliance Marketing Toolkit is designed not as a plug and play thing. You've got 21 prompts in there that I show you how to pull apart and use for infinite content with your voice, the words you would use in your industry with the words that your audience needs to hear. So it's like a mini training that also includes 21 content prompts that you can, you know, ring the hell out of basically. And I teach you how to break it down. But it's all about like switching from a, you know, I need to be jazz hands and center stage to a, you know, an audience centric focus in your marketing so that you can like relax around your marketing a little bit and actually do it rather than being like, well, maybe next year, maybe next year's my year to market.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's at jenliddy.com/backstage. I'll share the link with you and I'm sure you'll put it in the show notes.
Yep.
And
then totally put it in the show notes.
Basically, you can find everything at my website, jenliddy.com. I'm a one-N Jen. She's a Stacey with an EY, and I'm a one-N Jen. And these are like important distinctions to me.
And these are very, we're very close in age. And these are things that like, that I think come along with our generations. I mean, I rarely meet an EY Stacey that's younger than
me.
It's either Y or I. And if someone's an EY, I'm like, oh, how old are you? I'm always like, how old are you? You must have been born in the 60s. So, okay. And yes, so everybody just remember the show notes are at my website, stacybrassrussell.com. And then we'll have Jen's link, but you can go to jenliddy.com for her stuff. And, you know, if you ever are listening and you literally are like, I want that and I don't know what I'm doing, just message me. You can find me on every single everywhere. So just message me. We'll always get you whatever you need. Jen, oh my God, I feel like we could have talked for like an, I feel like we could do like a three part.
Thank you for an awesome conversation. It was so much fun to talk about this stuff. And I love that you like really helped me clarify some of the points that I'm making because like, no, it's not okay to hide and you don't have to be jazz hands. Remember, that's the big takeaway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that because, you know, I do feel like I was like, oh my God, I'm bringing her on. And basically she's going to say the opposite.
She's going to ruin my life.
No, she's going to say the opposite because I tell everybody, I'm like, you have to be willing to be visible. Like, you know, but I love what.
And do it on your terms.
Exactly. Yeah. I love what you're saying. So, thanks, oh my Jason. God. So great. Jen, appreciate thank you. Thank you. I know for that, sure. that everyone's going to, I'm going to get the feedback. Everyone's going to be like, that was so great. So, thank you everybody listening. I hope you enjoyed this and, let us know. And, I will see you next week. I'll be in your headphones next week as always. And that's it. I always end by telling everybody, listen, I love you and, you know, you're doing great. Okay. Bye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Passionate and Prosperous with me, Stacey Brass Russell. If you like what you're listening to, please make sure you're following or subscribing. And if you're on Apple, that's the little plus sign on the top right, so that you get notified when new episodes drop every Wednesday. As always, I'm sending you love and high vibes. And remember, life is hard, and there's always something you can do about it.